This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can listen to Town Talk anytime, day or night. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
And just like that, we are going to talk about the Great Lives series. And Scott Harris is here, the executive director of UMW Museums. And you've got a Great Lives title now, don't you?
I am director of Great Lives.
Director, yes. Okay. I know. I like the way you said
you
that.
You may call me the director.
The director. The director of Great Lives. Scott Harris here to talk about this. Biographical approaches to history and culture. We talk about things in Fredericksburg that are Fredericksburg. And in really short order, Scott, Great Lives has become a thing. Just because I don't know of many programs like this that consistently bring authors in like what Great Lives does.
No, and then let me just say too, as a quick aside before we dive into this, that we are talking about, I think, what can reasonably be called a Fredericksburg institution.
Yes.
That has only been around half as long as the Fredericksburg institution you had on the previous segment. Jan Williams. Yeah. I used to introduce as the Martha Stewart of Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
I came to realize that Martha Stewart is the Jan Williams of the rest of the world because she is such a treasure and has had such she's had a great life in her yes. own way in many respects. Mm-hmm. And it's been such a thrill for us to be able to work with her. And we're so happy, as you talked about with Lindsay and with Jan, how we're going to be able to put a real focus on her. So, but you're right, 23 years for Great Lives, this upcoming 2026 season will represent that. And it really, it began as any mighty oak would with an acorn, with the seed of an idea that Bill yeah. Crawley, history professor at Mary Washington, had to do a series of lectures on biographies of people who had an impact on history and culture. Not necessarily good, very often, in fact, bad, negative, but they were impactful. They had a significance to their society, to development of the nation, the world. They left a mark for good or for ill. And with the perspective of time and scholarship, you could bring in authors to do lectures on these people. Now, originally, at the very beginning, they were largely local talent, certainly many wonderful faculty members mm-hmm. at what was still then Mary Washington College, too. But then gradually the net started widening a bit, the amount of support. This lecture was founded through a wonderfully generous gift by John Chappell, and there were other gifts of his later on that really helped start the basis for us to be able to start attracting authors who do charge honoraria for their appearances, and the circle just kept widening in terms of our ability to pull in people, either academics, journalists, historians, and authors of greater and greater reputation, and Pulitzer Prize winners started to populate the ranks of people who did Great Lives lectures, and people with a national, even international reputation. I don't know how many New York Times bestsellers and other best-selling authors. So it really has evolved. And it began also as a class, a course at Mary Washington students could take in the history department. That, for various reasons, faded away, and in part the pandemic had an impact on it. We are bringing the course back in 2026. It's on the schedule for the spring semester of next year. So we're very excited that element of the course is returning.
Interesting. So interesting. Two of the more impactful ones for me that I always remember, because one of the things was it's not always people. There was secretariat's been.
That's Bill Crawley's favorite.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
The only one to be done twice of a non-human.
Yeah, because so that was Bill Knack, who's a Sports Illustrated writer, who I knew from writing it with Sports Illustrated. Mm-hmm. And had followed secretariat, and it was just that one was just fascinating. The other one was, and I didn't know about the book, I didn't know about the author, and I didn't know about the Great Lives series till after it was here. Was the and I can't think of the I can't think of the author's name, but it was the latest book on Ty Cobb that changed the whole view of how Ty Cobb is viewed today. That he wasn't the racist that he was portrayed in several other books, and that book had just come out. And I heard a whole lot about it then afterwards, and someone said, well, I saw the author at Great Lives, and I went back and watched the video of it, and it was just fascinating.
Yeah, it's sometimes you will see that an author brings a new approach to a subject, or will have produced a book on a subject, a person whose legacy and impact maybe time has somewhat passed by and you sort of rediscover.
Yeah.
President James Garfield, for example, was a subject. Charles Goodyear, C.W. Goodyear, did that biography last year, a lecture on his book. If you ask almost anybody who might remember anything about James Garfield, they'll probably remember he was assassinated.
Right.
That's sort of the, in fact, there's a miniseries, I think, on Netflix that sort of builds up to that. Goodyear took a look at the entirety of Garfield's career and found an amazing story of someone who was really steeped in the American political tradition, understood the processes, was a consequential leader in Congress, had a distinguished Civil War career. So he said we'd add depth and context to someone who was really a footnote for the one terrible thing that ended his life.
Right.
And there are many, many examples that we have some this year, and I'll mention here as we get into the heart of it. You're on a journey of discovery sometimes of people that society in a way sort of forgot or laid aside, and sometimes we can bring them back into view for people.
I read the book on Garfield after the Great Lives lecture just because I thought, and he did it. I mean, he was a major figure, and had he not been assassinated, would probably be viewed as one of our greater presidents.
I think so, yes. And it's like watching Titanic. You know what happens at the end. You see the story of Garfield's life. You think, well, it's all going to be, but it's the story before. Yeah.
I can't imagine putting a program like this together. I mean, it's of how you do it and to be able to do, to get dates fixed and just the. Define the topics that you do, but every year it happens.
Well, one way that you do it, at least that I do it, and I know Bill has, is having a great team.
Yeah.
Allie Hebers, the director of community events at Mary Washington, and she has other duties. She is the maven of commencement each year, working with a lot of other people for that too. But for Great Lives, I call her the field marshal of Great Lives because she is working with the authors, getting their contracts sorted out, getting their travel and lodging arrangements, everything else, everything they need. She's working with the university personnel who are staffing Dot Auditorium, Doug Noble and his staff. She is on just a huge number of fronts, helping implement so much of what we do to make sure this comes off, every year. This year 16 or next year 16 lectures. Jonathan Windsor, who was a student employee for us, a Mary Washington graduate, is our media consultant now, postgraduate, and he is the one who handles getting all of our social media out, works with our website. So that is one way that this is done, is that you get the right people doing the right jobs. It is a process of discovery, of scanning the various book lists and book reviews that come out, getting lots of tips and suggestions from many, many people. And then as you start to try to look at the matrix of, okay, can we balance, gender, race, occupation, time period, a lot of other factors. And then you start the negotiations, you make the inquiries with authors, sometimes directly, sometimes with their agents or their publishers. And that can... taking you on a lot of different paths. Some people, even ones of huge reputation, aren't worried about compensation very much. Others, it's a much higher priority. And we work within a budget range that is not massive at all, and yet we are able year after year to attract people. And I think the reputation of the program that has built over time. Yeah. We have a lot of repeat people, but a lot of times... that word of mouth, that professional word of mouth, will draw in authors, or they'll go, oh, yes, I'm familiar with that. So it is a bit of an art and a science each year. I'm in my second year of doing it as director. I love it. It's fascinating. It'll be my job in retirement from my museum role at Mary Washington. So it's quite a process.
Let's jump into it. Most Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yes, we have a spring break in it. But starting January 20th, and I think this is particularly appropriate. This turned out to be our first lecture of the year. Paul Revere, revolutionary writer. Costa Kennedy's biography of Paul Revere, of course, who rode the night of April 18th to let the Massachusetts Minutemen know that the British were marching toward Lexington and Concord, and the first shots of the Revolutionary War would be fired the next day. This is the first of three lectures that we are offering in 2026, the sort of the pinnacle year of the American Revolution 250th commemoration. We're happy to get several that touch on that theme. So that's January 20th. That is the Chancellor's Village Lecture. I should note, every one of our lectures is sponsored. This is a private money funded program at the university. And so we're very pleased that we're able to do that. January 22nd is Amy Semple McPherson, Pioneering Televangelist.
Fascinating story. This one I look forward to.
I tell you, a lot of people, the last 20, 30 years, they are used, it's almost a cliche to see a televangelist of some sort, some kind of person, whether it's a Joel Osteen or of another era, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker or Jerry Falwell or any of those folks. But at her time in the 1920s, there had been a sort of a pioneering male Pentecostalist preacher named Billy Sunday, who lectured all over, and he was well known. Well, she was the female counterpart, and she exceeded Billy Sunday's reach by hatching onto radio and becoming someone who was media savvy as well as a Pentecostal minister. And she really helped spread that aspect of Christianity to a much wider area. Her church that she founded in Los Angeles is often regarded as the first mega church. So she had a profound impact on American faith. She was using the tools of modern technology. And then there was this mysterious disappearance that may or may not have been a kidnapping. There were allegations of all sorts of other stuff going on. Sound familiar? Because so often it seems to be what happens here. And so all this is the blueprint for what's so familiar to people now, but in the 1920s, it was sensational and new. So that's the UMW Museum's lecture. That's on January 22nd. On January 27th, and at our reveal, we introduce this with the theme from Jaws, John Williams, movie music master. No one has had a better run at being a motion picture composer than John Williams. He has more nominations for Grammys and wins for that genre than anybody. He has more Oscars, I believe, for music from the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences than anybody. But he's also had a long career as a composer of other works. He was a jazz musician at the beginning of his life. And so there's a new biography by Tim Grieving that really dives into this fascinating life. And over so many generations, from young to old, they will have been to a movie or multiple movies that John Williams scored. And we're very happy that our friends John and Linda Coker are the sponsors of that on January 27th. Excuse me. We close out January with on the 29th, and this one has real meaning for me especially, Barbara Jordan, the South's first black congresswoman, by Mary Ellen Curtin. Barbara Jordan was a really striking figure. She was a woman from Texas. She had a wonderful Stenorian, but inspiring, deep voice, perfect diction and grammar, and carried herself with such dignity. She held the 1976 Democratic National Convention spellbound as she reviewed why the Democrats were the party to choose and sort of forecast where we might have gone, saying, will we be a united country that comes together around American values, or will we become a divided country, and that we could not flee the future, we would have to face it. And of course, so much of what's happened since, in many ways, fulfilled some of the negative parts of her philosophy. But as a young teenager, 14, 15 years old in those years, and hearing her and beginning to get an interest in politics, public service, she was really inspiring. So I'm really excited about this lecture that'll be January 29th, and that is the Jack and Marilyn Farrington Lecture, new sponsors for Great Lives. Excuse me. So moving on into February, and you'll just have to tell me when I should pause.
we're going good. This is good.
Good. February 3rd, live from New York, Lorne Michaels, brand new biography of the creator of Saturday Night Live, by Susan Morrison. She's the features editor of The New Yorker. This is the UMW Dining Lecture. Saturday Night Live just celebrated last year its 50th year on the air. And for good or for ill, and people have a whole range of opinions about him, Lorne Michaels has been at the center of defining what late night television, what popular culture, popular music. You know, a lot of emerging artists, you know, get one of their first big national exposures on Saturday Night Live. A lot of comics, a lot of people who go on into acting in other fields. So getting this very recent new take, it's kind of like the John Williams. You know, they've had this huge popular culture impact, and we're fortunate that we've got new takes on their lives. February 5th, Judy Blume, giving voice to young people. Rochelle Bergstein has written about someone who was really, really central to so many young women and men of the 70s and 80s, especially, exploring what their experience as youth was like and giving some idea of what the journey that they are on is like. And Judy Blume, an ardent feminist, an ardent foe of censorship, is actually one of the most censored authors. Her writings, very frank, very graphic sometimes. You know, Hello God, It's Me Again, Margaret, was one that really set her on the map. She went from being a suburban housewife to a widely read, widely published, and widely censored author. So she had a very mixed impact on culture, and it's still a relevant conversation today, as we know. What is appropriate in terms of children's literature? What should be in libraries and should not? You know, we have very recent examples of that. So an impactful life. The Fred and Barbara Rankin Lecture, another new sponsor for us. February 10th, again, kind of going into an area of an impact on American culture, Robert Crumb, the countercultural cartoonist. Dan Nadell's, again, new biography on someone who in the 60s, 70s, and even still today, helps not only almost single-handedly bring the counterculture underground comics world into a wider popular audience, but really used it as a forum for social commentary, whether it's Vietnam, whether it's other cultural issues. And anyone from the 70s who remembers that image of Keep On Truckin', the guy, you know, coming down the road that was just ubiquitous for a while. They may remember Felix the Cat, the controversial, very adult cartoon movie. So there's some interesting impacts on American culture and society. Robert Crumb, still with us, still alive, still producing work. And Dan Nadal's book, the first real biography of him. This is the Walter Jervis Sheffield Lecture, and he was really hoping he would be the sponsor for that one. He's excited that he is, so he suggested this one, even in fact, as a topic. Well, on February 12th, when we use the word icon, it's usually used euphemistically or you know, as a metaphor. Jerry West is literally the icon. He is the logo of the NBA, of the National Basketball Association, since 1969. And a number of years ago, he teamed up with author Jonathan Coleman to have the story of his life put down. And it has been often a very dark story. I should say Jerry West passed away in 2024. Mm-hmm. But he had a life of many challenges. He had a fierce competitiveness, and it did lead him to be the only person in the Naismith National Basketball Hall of Fame, only person elected there three times. As a player in the NBA, as a player on the 1960 Olympic team, and as a mastermind in coaching of championships. So that is an amazing legacy. And yet there were prices to be paid in that competitiveness and that drive, and this book explores that. This is the Stephen Gaskey and Patricia Powers Gaskey MWC Class of 75 lecture.
We're going to take a quick break. Scott Harris and the Great Lives series, you can find out more about this at umw.edu/greatlives. It begins on January the 20th, goes through March the 19th, and we'll run through the rest of the topics and the featured authors when we conclude this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Great Lives and Scott Harrison this morning as the director of Great Lives talks about the new series and the new season coming up. And we only have a few minutes, so I'll let you finish up. We're going to start with February 17th.
Yes, I was doing too good a sales job. Let me say, though, that if you go to umw.edu/greatlives, you'll be able to see all of this information on the authors. You see other important information. Yeah. These lectures are open free to the public. They begin at 7:30 p.m. in George Washington Hall on the UMW campus. So go to umw.edu/greatlives. So, running down the list, February 17th, The Brothers Grimm. Grim fairy tales. There's a lot behind that that you'll want to see. That's Janet Hedrick 73 and Jack Bales lecture. Ellington, Armstrong and Basie, The Jazz Men, Larry Tye's book on those important music figures. That's the Davenport and Company lecture. February 24th, Elizabeth Packard, a woman who became a champion for women's rights in the 19th century after being unfairly and incorrectly put into a mental institution. You Prostodontics sponsors that, and that's Kate Moore, a returning Great Lives lecturer. On February 26th, another of our American Revolution commemorative lectures, Jemima Boone, story of the kidnapping of Daniel Boone's daughter on the Kentucky frontier during the Revolutionary War, the Irene and Curry Roberts lecture. March 10th, a brand new biography, Desi Arnaz, looking at what really was the impact of not just being Ricky Ricardo.
Yeah.
Todd Purdom, the author, another Great Lives returning author, and that is the Jubilation by Silver Company's lecture. On March 12th, I mentioned Finding People That Time Sort of Forgot. Well, Gertrude Bell is essentially the female Lawrence of Arabia, helped found the modern nation of Iraq with the British government after World War I, and Janik Wallach has given us a great biography of her. Nabil Atakridi of the UMW History Faculty will be in conversation with her. Nabil is teaching the Revived Great Lives course as well, so we're very excited about that. That's the Coldwell Banker Elite Lecture. Our last and third revolutionary one, March 17th, John Hancock, not just a big signature, so much more. Willard Sturt Randall will be speaking on that. That's the Roxanne M. Kaufman Lecture on March 17th. And then finally, March 19th, Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday. We're going to the OK Corral with one more returning author from last year, actually, Mark Lee Gardner, the Synergy Periodontics and Implants Lecture. And that will close us out with 16 lectures in 2026. We hope to see everybody at these.
And again, for a university of any size to do this, for UMW to provide this, what a great gift to the community this is. And again, like you said, it's free.
This is indeed, it is free. It is the longest running and largest public program. It has become that UMW does, and we are so grateful that we can share this with our community, that so many people step up to help support it, that we are once again using it as a vehicle for student instruction and, well, in biography, in history, and in related skills. So, it's just something that's very special, and I'm really proud to be a part of it.
Well, and you mentioned earlier that, Bill Crowley is special to you, and for him to have started this and developed this, it is a great tribute to him.
My advisor, my teacher, my mentor, colleague, friend, all that, yeah.
It's a really great thing. I mean, this has been a great show that really you helped develop this morning, Scott, to get Jan Williams in here to talk about what has just been, 45 years of just a great, like you said, a great live and then the Great Lives series. This is we live in a great community.
We certainly do, and my life will never be the same because I'm seeing a different corner of your studio, and I have an entirely new perspective of everything. And I'm never changing my seat now in the future. It's great.
You do. You've always said in one particular for all of these years, and you've lived over here, and you've seen the name of the automation system we have, and you are
wide orbit power. Everybody, you got to come see it.
It's an amazing thing. People will ask to sit where you are sitting. umw.edu/greatlives. That'll get you. That'll give you this the schedule.
Give you the whole schmeal.
Mm-hmm. And a great thing. Scott Harris, thank you so much. We will talk again soon.
Thank you, sir.
Scott Harrison with Great Lives again. umw.edu/greatlives. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk. on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.